All right, on this beautiful July the 28th, Lord's Day morning, John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Mm-hmm. And that's important. On the Lord's Day, he said, "I was in the Spirit." And I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
I want to be praising Jesus on the Lord's Day. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Okay, we're continuing our teaching this morning. Proverbs, we didn't finish Proverbs chapter 2. And I'm not even really sure. I think maybe we got to verse 18. But I want to back up to verse 11. Just because of that one word, discretion. And I want to back up to verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 2. And God's word says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." Discretion in our day and time, I don't know if there is such a thing as discretion. I've never seen such a lack of discretion. I'm 65 years old, and I was telling Brother Ed, I feel young out here. Most of y'all are my elders. But in our day and time, there's no second thought. No discretion. No reservation. It just seems like they rewrite the law. It seems like they make exception. In our day and time, there is a very serious lack of discretion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people pay the price for that.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, when we come back from Elizabethtown yesterday, we went up Elizabethtown yesterday by the granddaughter car. We came back, we got into Glasgow, and there was the bloom lights going. Someone had a problem with discretion and the speed limit. And two policemen was out there telling them what the speed limit was through that area where they were pulled over. Discretion will preserve you. This word says right here. And they didn't have any discretion when it come to a speed limit. I heard about a woman even this week that was killed in a motorcycle accident. I don't know what all was involved. But I would like to say this, I certainly want an airbag, a seat belt, a frame, bumper, brakes. I want all the discretion that I can have when you drive the highways. Nowadays, you better have some discretion.
Yeah.
Seemed like I looked another verse up about discretion here. Hold on just a second here. I think it was in Proverbs chapter 11. Let me see. I may not even marked it. Oh yeah, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." A lot of problems are caused by not having discretion.
Right.
And when a problem is caused by not having discretion, sometimes they're hard to get rid of. I, with my own eyes, have seen young girls that have made friendship with a man that was out of control and rage, out of control with regard for anyone's person, and he hurt these young girls and threatened them and killed. A lot of them have been killed. But you know what? If that young girl had some discretion, let me give you a good hint. If I was a young girl and I wanted to exercise all the discretion I could exercise, I'd be sitting on a church pew looking for me a boyfriend. You know why? Because that man, he's had some discretion. He's in the house of God.
Right.
He's had some instruction from the Word of God.
That's right.
He knows better than do some things. That's what I mean about discretion. I remember the last words of a young girl that made the mistake of going in the woods with MS-13. Mm-hmm. She texted her mother, last words, "I made a mistake."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It pays to have discretion.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble. trouble today is due to not having discretion. I would that there were a lot of young people here this morning. I know they're not. I know that you and I have three people in Sunday school class this morning, Sister Sharon, Brother Ed, and myself, and we can all say amen to having discretion.
Amen.
We're here today because we had discretion.
Right.
The graveyard is full of people that had no discretion.
Right.
God says discretion shall preserve you. He said understanding shall keep you.
That's right.
Understanding consequences. Driving too fast. Drinking too much. Living a loose life.
Yes.
Oh, I could preach on this verse for a while. It's in me right now. I'll just tell you right now. Good. But those two words, discretion, understanding, they're extinct today.
That's right.
People's lifestyles shout out, I have no discretion.
Right.
I see them and their body is marred. I see the tokens of the friendship of this world, of how the world has had its way with them. I see the way they dress. I see the way they talk. I see the way they act. And I can tell they have no discretion and they lack understanding.
All right.
I'll be done with that now. That's why I wanted to back up that verse. I didn't think I'd done a very good job of delivering that verse right there, the last. Now, the last time we talked, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, to deliver. That's what discretion and understanding does. It delivers you.
Right.
To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. I talked about a lot of girls getting in trouble with what I call mean men. They don't treat a woman with any degree of respect.
Right.
No.
They're forceful, they impose, they threaten, and they hurt. Discretion will keep you from the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. You know, a lot of girls are living a life of hell today because they didn't have no discretion, because they didn't exercise any understanding. And I've met them. You don't know what kind of hell I live in. I said, I know a little bit about it. I'll just tell you how it happened. No discretion.
Yeah.
No exercise of understanding. Let me tell you something. When the door shuts on not having discretion and understanding, you find yourself and you're a prisoner in this, what's mentioned here, the evil man.
Mm-hmm.
The man that speaks forward things. That's kind of like threatening. Who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. You made bad decision. Instead of staying in church, instead of living right, doing right, you say, well, you know what? Everybody else is going this way, so I'm going to go that way.
Yeah.
Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil. They don't even get embarrassed anymore. They've lost the ability to have the right reaction of doing something wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
When I was young, I can still remember getting red-faced.
Mm-hmm.
I was embarrassed about some things. You know, make a mistake, and I'd get red-faced. They've lost that.
Yep.
Now they kind of rejoice at doing wrong. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. In other words, they're a partner. They have no problem with it. Whose ways are crooked, and they are forward in their path. In other words, they're in agreement to go in this direction. But if you did have discretion, if you did seek understanding, verse 16 is why God put that in there. To deliver thee from the strange woman.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. In other words, she's got the look. She's got the talk. And here's a young man He didn't have any discretion, didn't have any understanding. And young girls too. But they don't get delivered. Matter of fact, they get in bondage to people like what's mentioned in verse 16, which forsake the God of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Verse 18 is kind of a serious verse. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. See, there's consequences.
Yeah.
The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible said sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death.
Right.
Romans 6:23, James 1:14, I think that is. I know it's James chapter 1. But you know, there are consequences to sin. Sin's not a laughing matter. Sin's a serious matter. That's James 1:15. I missed it by one. James 14, but every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. That's a stern warning about sin.
Yes, it is.
But her house inclineth unto death. This is a house of sin. Her paths unto death. That's the direction sin goes in. None that go unto her return again. What happened to so-and-so? Made a mistake. Didn't have any discretion. Didn't seek any understanding. Sought the counsel of fools. You remember God mentioned her in Proverbs chapter 1? He said, you wouldn't none of my counsel. You said it not, verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 1. He said, you said not all my counsel. You wouldn't none of my reproof. You wouldn't let me warn you, God said. He says, verse 19 of Proverbs chapter 2, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Their life ended at the grave plot. Their life ended where the granite's raised, where the hole's dug, where the casket's lowered into the ground. You can't tell them. You can't help them. I love to. I wish I could warn them. But they just won't listen.
No.
They won't let no one give them advice.
No.
Verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteous. They're not interested in that.
Nope.
They like living this life of danger. Like taking chances. And sometimes you only get one chance.
That's
right.
I remember hearing a story one time about a girl. She slipped out of the house to go riding with some young boys and had a wreck, and she's the only one that died. She's a church girl. She only got one chance.
That's it.
Can you imagine standing before God and having given account of being in a safe house with good godly parents, everything right there that you need, and you slip out of a window and get in a car full of drunks just to have a good time and have a wreck and all them drunks survive, and you're the one that ends up being dead?
Yep.
And having to stand before God. I just tell you, a lot of people don't get a second chance.
No, they don't.
Sometimes it's just a one chance thing. God says that you may walk in the way, that you may keep the paths of the righteous. Verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land. You know who lives today? I'm going to share this with you. It don't go with this message at all. It really don't. We got rid of a dog this week. I was one of the ones that wanted to get rid of it. It got too big for the house. It became a burden.
Yeah.
But I will say this. With tears. Real tears. And I was thanking God for them to have enough heart to cry. This dog tried so hard. It does. tried so hard to be right. Tried so hard to accommodate. I'll tell you why it bothered me. Because it reminded me so much of my relationship with God.
Yeah.
Just don't get tired of. He made accommodations for me.
Yes, he did.
I wanted to make accommodations for this dog so bad. It really wasn't the dog's fault. It was just too big. It destroyed everything. It was just a pup in it. It just killed me. Because it reminded me, I prayed about it. I saw God about this dog. The reason it bothered me so much, it reminded me so much of how much God has put up with me.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw myself so manifested in this dog. I saw this dog try so hard. So hard. I want to say something good about this. We found the dog in a good home. We found an Amish family that had a blue heeler just like this dog. They had 10 kids. They was thrilled to death seeing this dog.
Yeah.
They had a male blue heeler, and this was a female, and they wanted to raise blue heelers. And they were so happy to see this. The dog. The dog was better off. I'll tell you right now, it sure hurt. It hurt because it showed me a lot of things about God.
Yeah.
It sure did. It showed me some things in my whole life, Brother Dallas. I know we all come short, I understand that.
Yes.
But we were making exceptions. We tried everything. I got to think about how God tried so hard with me, making exceptions for me.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about dogs, sure. Yeah. I learned a lot from that dog. He really hurt, I'll tell you right now, it really hurt, but the dog's better off, we're better off. But I'll tell you what, I learned a lot from that dog. I learned a lot from it. Like I said, they don't really go with this lesson, but it does kind of fit in right here. For the upright shall dwell in the land. God wants us to live. He wants us to live right.
Yeah.
He wants us to do right. And even if we don't, He still loves us and puts up with us. That's why I said I learned so much from this dog.
Amen.
Every mistake it made, I cleaned it up. You know what God does to me, Dallas? Every mistake I made, He cleans it up.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
Yes.
Bless Him, Lord. Bless Him.
I do my best. God does His best. But He says the upright. The upright should dwell in the land.
Yeah.
When you read Genesis chapter 6, you read God looked down and He said the thought of man's heart was only evil continually.
Yeah.
In the heart of man, and it grieved God in his heart that it even made man, and it repented Him that He made man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, He never gave up on man.
No, He never.
He found an upright man named Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, I believe I can work with Noah. But the upright, verse 21, shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. God wants us to live right. And we should. We should live righteous, godly, and sober in this present evil world.
Yeah.
Quit complaining, quit blaming. And just realize just how blessed you are.
Amen.
That God gave you another day. And God, just get up and say, Lord, thank you for another day. Help me be a blessing, not a burden to the heart of God. Help me to walk before you in the beauty of holiness. Help me to set the standard where it needs to be and keep it where it needs to
right.
be. We ought to, that's our reasonable service.
Amen. That's right.
I hate to
admit it, I learned so much, Miss Dawn. I learned so much from that dog.
Yeah. Amen.
That dog kept messing up. But he kept trying. I keep messing up, but I keep trying.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. That's right.
Oh my. The upright. I can't make people do right. God can't neither. I'll tell you what we ought to do right. Little, we had a cartoon called Deadly Do Right. Well, that's what we ought to be. We're going to be the do-rights.
Yeah.
I know other people ain't going to do right, but I don't have to do that. I can do right.
That's right.
And you know, we're supposed to be an example of a believer in word and in deed.
Yeah.
I can do right. It's got to help me.
That's right.
He will.
I know it's a sign of trouble. I'll tell you what, we ought to do right.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, we should.
Right.
Absolutely.
Got to.
We're going to do right.
Amen. That's right.
I want to be a jewel for his crown, brother.
That's right.
I'll tell you, boy. I'm in the rough. I know I am. God knows I am. You may not, but he and I know.
That's right.
He's still working on me. I'll tell you right now, you remember about the old potter and the clay?
Yeah.
It was marred and he made it into another. He's still working on me.
Yeah.
For the upright should dwell in the land. And the perfect shall remain. I ain't perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. He made the captain of my salvation perfect.
Amen, that's right.
Unless they can find fault in him, I'm good to go. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Right.
You know, they get the law out. And by the law, I mean, they scrutinize. They say, what it says right here? I'll tell you what, you get the law out.
Mm-hmm.
Pilate said, find no fault in
it. Amen.
That's right.
They said, I can't handle him. I can't hold him. They could hold everybody else. Even the devil couldn't lay an accusation against him.
That's right.
You know what, Sharon? You made the captain of my salvation perfect.
That's right.
I ain't perfect.
No.
But you know what? I was telling Donnie, I said, Donnie, he paid top dollar for me. I've been paid for
it. Yes, right. Lord.
I said, I don't owe nothing. I owe him everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as debt is concerned, he paid it in full. Stand right on there and paid in full by the
right.
blood of Jesus.
Right.
By the suffering of Calvary. He let me go free. And I am free indeed. But anyway, the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. And transgressors shall be rooted out of it. I want you to know God has never promoted sin. Never.
No.
Never.
Uh-huh.
And I know the church has got kind of mingled. You know, you see that big vision that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and started out with gold. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sent it down to silver. That's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got down to brass. That's still good. Then he got down, I think, to bronze. What's that last? Clay and iron mingled, wasn't it? You see, we've been trying to mingle.
Yeah.
Now, when you've got a mingled foundation, it don't do the gold no good.
No.
I know we're sowing with diverse seeds now. I know diversity is where we're at. It's that mingled iron and clay. That's where we're at right now. That's the age we're living in.
Yeah.
We're mingled. You know, they're trying to make everything gray. They're trying to somehow say, you know, that's not, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't want to elaborate on this because I'm trying to stay with what God's put in my heart about this. But there's a lot of things that they're promoting today that ain't of God. I'll just tell you right now, they ain't of God.
No.
God's going to show himself to be God, and they're going to pay a terrible price for it, that mistake. Right now, buddy, they're writing laws, trying to tell me I can't preach against certain things I have to admit. They said, well, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I'll tell you right now, I need to too. I need to obey God rather than man.
Right.
And then the disciples, they put to the test. And they told them not to mention that name no more. And they said, we're going to have to mention that name. We belong to Him. They went out and, I mean, even more so, preached Jesus. That's what we're down to. They're saying, don't mention that. Have y'all noticed? They put in the schools in God we trust. Woo!
Amen.
And we got the right president. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not.
Yeah.
He said he wanted on the wall right there in God we trust. And you know what come out against it? The freedom from religion.
Yeah, that's right.
How can the freedom from religion and the freedom of religion coexist? It's an oxymoron. They're opposites. How can you have the freedom of religion? And I do have the freedom of religion. First Amendment.
Yes.
Right.
I have the freedom of religion. So since I have the freedom of religion, how can there be a freedom from religion in the same country or at the same time? You see what? They're oxymorons. They're opposites. They can't exist together. See what I mean?
Right.
But the freedom from religion, and you know what they said? They said it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
The Constitution is the one that says I've got the freedom of religion. So
right.
They swallowed and bought it. It's unconstitutional. Let them swallow and bought.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. I don't mean to get political. We've got the right president there right now.
Yeah.
They can't buy him.
No.
They can't bend him. And I have to admit, they have worked on him. I can tell it. I don't know if y'all have noticed or not. But he has become a little bit political. And I certainly understand a little bit of that. To get things done, he has become a little bit political.
Yeah.
You can't get nothing done in Washington. He's getting a few things done. But I do hope he don't forget who put him there. I know the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. I hope God keeps his heart where it needs to be.
Yeah.
You'll get that on a slow train, but you'll get that.
Right.
But God here, this last verse here, he says, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Let me go over real quick to Psalms. See if I can find this verse. I wish I had my old Bible, had everything marked in it. Okay, Psalms chapter 55, verse 23. God says, but thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Note this. Bloody and deceitful men. That means somebody kills people and somebody deceives people.
Right.
Notice this. Shall not live out half their days. Hey, Sister Kelly.
Hey.
You missed a terrible moment in there talking about an old dog. But you notice here this last verse of Proverbs chapter 2. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth. God says they won't live out half their days.
Yep.
Well, let's go to Psalms 90 and figure out how many days they're supposed to live. Psalms 90 verse 10. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. I haven't arrived yet. I'm 65. But I've made it past the halfway mark. I'm just trying to get you to see something here. The days of our year are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80. Now, when I'm talking about not living out half their days, a lot of people, and this is not completely etched in stone, a lot of people don't live to be about 40.
No.
You can write that down.
Yeah.
You can mark, take note. There's a reason they don't live past 40. You missed it on discretion. They don't have discretion, Carolyn. They don't have understanding. Their feet have never come into the house of God. They're kind of like Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey him? They've got that kind of mind. This is my life. Nobody's going to tell me
right.
What 40 years.
Right.
Yeah, go out to the graveyard sometime and look, and you'll see 39 to 40 years.
Yeah.
See, that comes with a price. God sent the upright, people of Jerry. He sent the upright blood in the land.
Right.
Y'all missed the old cheerful thing about the dog. You had that sharing about it. I cried all over the place in there about an old dog.
Felt sorry for Brother Wade.
Old Blue Heeler dog broke my heart this week. We had to get rid of it. But I can't go there again. No. It's about kill me, go do it once.
Please don't, Brother Wade.
But the upright, God said the upright shall dwell in the land. You want to live a long life? I'll tell you what you do. Well, a matter of fact, Peter tells us how to live a long life. Look here. Hey, this is pretty good. God just brought it in my mind here. Well, I missed it there. I missed 1 Peter somehow. Okay, in 1 Peter chapter 3, to live a long life, here's what God says to do if you want to live a long life. 1 Peter chapter 3, look down there about verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. You know, I've seen all kinds of signs here lately. Be kind. Boy, why can't we just be kind?
That's right.
Why do we have to beat everybody up? Not just with you know, your fists, but with words. You know, I'm talking about with words, beat people up. Have a little compassion. God says here, we're all in the same boat. It's just they need to get in the better boat.
Right.
We're all sinners, some saved, some not saved. We're all sinners, loved by the one that created us. Some of them, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, but God still loves them. He calls it to rain on the unjust and on the just. He's kind to the wicked. He's what we need to be. But finally, he says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Now listen to this. For he that will love life and see good days. This man wants to live a long life. Well, if he does, God says, let him refrain his tongue from evil.
Yeah.
And his lips, that he speak no guile. Let him skew evil. That means don't give no place to evil. Walk away when you see something's not right. Just say, you know, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right.
He made better choices. And people that choose to follow evil, they're making a bad choice. They ain't going to live out half for days. But it says, let him skew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears, and I want God's ears to be open my prayers. I want God to hear me when I pray.
Yeah.
The Bible said, if I have a God or iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I don't want to not be heard. I want my prayers to be heard.
Right.
But anyway, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, God says here, the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Verse 22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out. There's a lot mentioned in that latter part of Proverbs chapter 2. We'll start now. We got a little time here. We'll start now in Proverbs chapter 3. And God again giving advice to his children. And he says, my son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
The psalmist said, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word of God. Now, when you don't have anything to do with the word of God, you know nothing about the law of God, you know nothing about the commandments of God, and for lack of better words, you're on your way, you're going to hit head on with judgment and with trouble. The devil loves those that
that forget God's law. The devil loves those that don't keep the commandments of God. You know, when you read Ecclesiastes right there, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon being the author of Ecclesiastes, he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And verse 14 says, for God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's a reason to keep God's law and God's commandment. And again, he tends to that. Notice verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Boy, if you want to have a good, long, peaceful life, I don't like going to the doctor. I don't. I'll tell you one thing that tends to it. Don't live a life before God. My pastor used to always say, to where God has to get your attention. Right. He said, when you're laying on a hospital bed looking up, he said, at least God's finally got you looking in the right direction.
Yeah.
There's probably some truth to that. I don't know. But in his life, I'm glad, praise God, we've got one that loves us. I'm glad he's the good shepherd. And we need to tend and stay close to him. And tend to stay not only close to him, but let him take care of us. Don't drift off. There's wolves out there. There's lions. There's bears. Length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. That's what God wants you to have. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. God wants you to have mercy. God wants you to have truth. He said, don't let them forsake you. In other words, seek them. Keep them. Bind them upon thy neck, it says. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. I've got a lot of the Bible in my heart. Driving down the road, I think a lot about the precepts of God. I'll drive down the road. Last time, Brother Jerry, I'll see something. And just seeing that, it caused me to remember a certain scripture. Mm-hmm. It caused me to ponder. I was telling him before y'all got here that me and my wife, we was coming back from Elizabethtown, and we was coming into Glasgow right there where the old drive-in was, and there was a police car that had another car pulled over because they lacked discretion and they thought it was okay to drive 70 and 55. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know how fast they're driving, but they had them pulled over. Blue lights are going and flashing, mm-hmm. and one policeman on each side, and you know, some things you just need to be careful about. But they lack discretion, and it come with a price. But God says if you'll keep these, He said you'll find favor. You'll find good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, Jesus, the Bible said that He went about pleasing God and man. That's the only one I know that's ever done that. Now, I know a lot of people that have pleased man. And I know a lot of people that's pleased God. But you find one that can please God and man, that's going to be pretty tough. But Jesus did it. He obtained favor with God and man. And it didn't last long as far as the favor of man. But he never did ever lose favor with God.
Amen.
But he says you'll find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know, it would be good to have a reputation, and you're going to leave behind a testimony. One day some preacher go out to lie and he going to say Carolyn was a good woman. She done everything like she's supposed to. Good wife. And Jerry was done it and said, I want to contest that. But you know, we're going to leave behind a testimony. In it, the Bible said he left behind a testimony that he pleased God. Some preacher's going to have to get up and give a conclusion of your life. They're going to have pictures up there and they're going to show all the good things. They're not going to show nothing bad. They're going to show all the good things. They're not going to show anything where he's locked up in jail. Where the sheriff come out there and throws your furniture out in front of you. They ain't going to show none of that. They're going to show all the times you did everything right and all that right there. But it'd be good to leave behind a testimony.
Yes.
Amen. You're going to leave one behind whether it's good or not. Somebody's going to have to get up there. My friend of mine, Jimmy, he liked to be called Jimmy the Hood, but his name is Jimmy Hood. Up in Ohio, he was a hood. But he rode a motorcycle gang, and
and disrupting the cop, kill people and everything. I mean, sold dope, you name it. God got him saved. Man, he was a tremendous man of God, tremendous. But Jimmy said he had to go to, I believe it was his brother's funeral, maybe a friend's funeral. He said there was some guy up there released on his underwear, said he was a good father. He said that was the furthest thing from truth. He said he was not a good father. He said he's a good man. He said, that's all I could do to keep my mouth shut standing up. He was not a good man. And he said, I sat there, he said, I tried to button my mouth for the sake of all those that were grieving and crying. But he said, I was sitting there thinking, he's lying about him. I know this man. And the guy was, he was got on a motorcycle extremely fast, extremely drunk, lost control and killed him. And they tried to get up there. He said, you know, and just lying about him all over the place. And according to Jimmy, the man was a lost man. One of the guys that he knew. But anyway, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. These are tremendous verses right here. God says, no matter what, go with God. No matter what the street sign says, if that ain't in the right direction, I believe my wife would actually get out and argue with a stop sign. But anyway, it's important to trust in the Lord. If you was on a ship and it was sinking, and they said, unless you leave this ship, and Paul did kind of get in this account of when the storm, I can't remember the name of the storm there, in Acts, I think it's Acts either 26 or 28, but Paul went down and prayed about it, and he said, except you abide on the ship,
yeah.
He said, you'll not be saved. And the centurion finally listened, and they cut the ropes going to the what do you call them little boats, safety boats, I forgot what they call them boats. Shoot, I can't remember nothing this morning. But anyway, they stayed in the ship and they lived. You know, that centurion could have just as easily said, we're not going with that, Paul. We're going to, you know, what do they call them boats they put on ships? What do they call them?
Lifeboats.
Lifeboats. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you. I'm brain dead this morning. I can't think of nothing. Y'all missed the episode about the dog. You need to get this tape on this teaching this morning. We got rid of a dog this week, and it's very emotional. I've cried all over the place in there this morning about a dog. But the lifeboats, they cut the ropes coming, and they stayed in the ship, and they all lived. But you know, you might be on a ship, and somebody says, you know, we need to leave, you're going to perish. God might say, stay on the ship.
Right.
Might be a shark out there. Everybody and their brother's getting bit by sharks here lately. I don't know what to deal with. You know what they said about sharks, Joanne? They said they could even survive a nuclear attack. Can you imagine that? So you're still going to have sharks out there, even if Russia does fire a bunch of nukes over here or Iran or whoever else. Anyway, they said they could survive. But lean not to your own understanding. Lots of times, I'm guilty, and I'm sure you are too, of thinking you know what you need to do. Pray about it. Pray about it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. The Bible said it's not in man to direct his ways, but it also says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I've lost a little weight this week, and I've been eating like a horse all week. I don't know how that happened. We went to Elizabethtown yesterday to pick up a car for the granddaughter. We stopped at Arby's and got that biggest one. I mean, the double. I mean, that's all I do to eat it. If that wasn't enough, we got it medium size, and it brought out a Coke as big as mine. She said, I'd hate to see what a large Coke looks like. I said, yeah, we'd have to go home and get the truck, I think. But anyway, we got them curly cues come with it. And I ate all of mine, and my wife said, here, eat mine. And what I do? Yeah, you better believe it, I eat them. That's why my ear's all red over here. My blood pressure's high. I eat two of them medium curly cues. And eat them Arby's, and them granddaughters at Ralphie's, her and a friend, they bowled them. So I had to go pick them up. Soon we got back. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to go eat. We went to Dairy Queen. What I do? The same thing. Onion rings this time and cheeseburger. They wanted ice cream. I said, I'm passing on ice cream. But anyway, we'll lean out to our own understanding. We'll be better off. Let God lead in your life. Just listen to this verse in its completeness. Trust in the Lord
with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. God, let God lead in your life.
Yeah.
He'll never lead you wrong. And if you'll let Him lead you, let's look real quick, Proverbs chapter 23. If you'll let Him lead you, verse 3, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalms 23, if you'll let God lead, He'll lead you in the right path. And He'll do it for His name's sake. And you'll be good, you'll be better off because of it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Look at verse 6. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him. But wouldn't it be good if you just attached God to everything?
Yeah.
You just said, Lord, this cup of coffee that I'm fixing to enjoy. Hey, if they don't have coffee in heaven, I'm coming back. I don't know how heaven could be heaven without coffee. You know how I know they got coffee in heaven, Dallas? You got a book called Hebrews. Somebody up there makes it. I don't know who he is. Somebody up there makes the coffee. But anyway, you get a cup of coffee, you say, Lord, thank you for this coffee. They say it causes cancer. I just say, pray over it. Say, Lord, if it causes cancer, please let me die quick. I don't want to suffer.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink coffee. I started out drinking coffee with my dad, Sister Joanne. And I had one spoonful of coffee and a cup of sugar and a cup of milk. And it finally got down to just coffee and sugar. Then it got down to just plain old black coffee. That's the way Daddy drank it, was black. It took me a while to get there, but that's the way I drink coffee now. Just plain old black coffee.
Me too.
I like it. But
I have a lot of cream in there.
If God leads in your life, He'll lead you the right way. Right. He'll never lead you wrong.
Right.
He'll never tell you wrong. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Just say, Lord, I know You made me. I know You love me. I know You're blessing me. And He shall direct thy paths. God says so much there in 2 verses. Can you imagine man trying to write verse 5 and 6? Just listen to this penmanship. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The penmanship of that, them two verses, say all that needs to be said.
Right.
You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. James says this, Brother Jerry. He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. That's what we need to do. We need to do what God said. Let Him lead in your life. You'll live a better life. You'll live a longer life.
Right.
You know what, one day you'll say, Brother Dallas, you'll say, I'm glad I let God lead my life. We would all say amen on that, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll stop right there. We'll stop right there. It's been good. I have to admit, this Sunday school lesson probably been better than the preaching message is going to be today. But let me say this about Sunday school. I'd like to see our Sunday school grow. I'd like to see some young people in here. I'm willing so much to see young people in here that if we can get young people in here, I will personally be involved if need be, unless someone else wants to. But I'm not too big to teach young children. I would personally be thrilled to death to teach young people of the Word of God. And we've got better candidates in here for that. But I'd like to get some young people in. I'd like to get our church built up in Sunday school. You know what's good about Sunday school? Does anybody know?
You learn by the Bible.
Here's what's good about Sunday school. Brother Eddie, what's this mean? You can't do that while Brother Eddie's preaching like a Comanche Indian. You know what I mean? I mean, you're kind of scared even to move. You get any attention. You don't even want to draw attention when he's preaching. But when you're in Sunday school, Brother Eddie, I know this ain't got a thing to do with a Sunday school lesson, but what's this mean right here?
It was so good.
That's what's good about Sunday school.
Right.
You can ask a lot of questions. It's a good time to ask questions.
Right.
And you know what? When you ask the question, we all get the benefit of the conversation. Yeah. That's why Paul said, nevertheless, what said the scripture? We'll stop right there.